God for his precious, wonderful, miracle-working blood, right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand if we would. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to start off with prayer tonight. And Sister Massey is in the hospital, was admitted yesterday, and we need to remember her in prayer. Also, we need to remember Sister Erica Rankins, that the Lord will continue to help her and continue to touch her. And no setback. She's improving. She's doing better. And we're just praying that God just not have her, give her no more setbacks, you know, and keep progressing. So remember her. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Sister Jackson. Okay. All right. Sister Dawn. All right. Remember Sister Dawn. Sister Morgan. All right, let's remember that. Sister Johnson? All right. Yes, Sister Karen. Yes, James Winberry really needs a miracle. Needs the Lord to really touch him. Somebody else tonight? Yes, Brother Bell. I mean, Sister Bell. Remember that. Sister Elaine? Right. Right. Let's pray about that. The Lord will move. Somebody else tonight. Sister Tucker? All right. All right. Let's remember Cliff. Anyone else tonight? Yes, Sister Carolyn? Let's remember that. Remember that. Amen. Amen. Needs to know the Lord. Amen. Shame somebody lived to be 101 and not know the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray that God would save his soul. Anyone else tonight? All right. Our service tonight, that God will move for us in a special way. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, God, we love you, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you move for us, Lord. God, that you would move for us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would move for Morgan's request tonight. God, you know the need, and we ask you to move for her, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that you would move for Judy Miller, Lord. Touch her body, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you, Lord, God, that you would touch her. Touch Brother Larry and Sister Tricia tonight, Lord. God, I pray that you would touch them. Lord, that you'd give them healing tonight. Touch Sister Massey. Lord, you know the touch that she needs tonight. And you know her condition. We ask you to touch her. Touch Erica, Lord God. Touch her body and give her healing. Lift her up, God, I pray, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you'd touch Sister Dawn. God, that you'd be with her and help her, Lord God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would talk to Cliff's heart, Lord. God, draw him to you, Lord Jesus. Deal with him, Lord God. Let him realize his need of you, we pray. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, God, that you would move for this Brother Robertson's son, Lord, that you would move for him. God, that you would deal with his heart. God, let him give his life to you. Sister Carolyn's uncle, Lord God, that you would save his soul. Lord God, I know it's the mercy of God that he had lived 101. God, but you could still save his soul. God, I ask you, Lord God, to touch him now in Jesus' name. God, move for the Jarvis family tonight, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, move for their need, Lord. God, I pray that you would let your will be done. We'll give you the praise, oh God. Lord, I pray that you touch James tonight, Lord. Touch his body. He needs a miracle, Lord God. Lord, he needs a miracle from heaven. Would you touch him tonight? God, we give you the praise for all that you've done, Lord. God, we know there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. God, I ask you to touch, to move now in this service. God, let the power of God come by. Let the power of God minister to us. And God, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Pray, lift your hands and worship Him tonight. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you, God. I praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My God can do seated. Brother Jackson, I want you to come and help us tonight if you would. Amen. Some songs. Amen. Hey, you know, I'll tell you what, we came out of camp and youth camp, and I'll tell you what, the Lord blessed us. Tremendous services. Tremendous services. And Brother Jackson, don't mind standing there for a moment, I'll say a little bit. But sorry, brother. But you know, on Wednesday night, after Brother Switzer preached a wonderful message, amen, out of Jeremiah, talking about fire shut up in my bones, amen, and I could not forbear, talk about containing ourselves, amen, it was a great message. Those kids came down the altar, they flooded the altar, and they prayed for 2 hours, without not one beat on a drum, without one note on a piano, without one bass lick on a guitar. They prayed for 2 solid hours. Amen. With their hands lifted, worshiping God. Amen. They not only prayed once, they prayed twice. They'd come back up. I mean, they just kept praying. And God, I really felt the Lord there. But you know, sometimes if we're not careful, man, we enjoy all that. We enjoy that. And we forget to bring that back home with us. All right? Amen. I know we're tired. And it takes a lot out of Bethel Chapel, a week of youth camp. Everybody kind of, when it's over, kind of goes, you know, and we're just kind of still catching our breath. But, you know, let's try our best just to get in here and worship the Lord tonight and let the Lord help us. Amen. Let's not lose what we experienced out at youth camp, right? Right, young people? Okay.
Page 351 in the green book. That's exactly what I had on my heart tonight. I was going to mention the same thing. You know, it's so many times we just go through the motions. But when the Lord moves on us, if we'll just step out and move at that time and respond at that time, there's no telling what God will do in the service. If you sit back and let it pass, you may miss your blessing and you may hinder the rest of the service. Whatever God wants, if He deals with you, if He moves on you, get up and do it. Just do it, because the Lord will bless you for it. Let's sing Come and Dine.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna, He sustains and supplies our every need. Oh, to sprinkles up with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calls Him, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He is the Lamb and turn the water into wine. To the hungry, call them down, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He said, it's life.
got up on this platform, he's got back at the door. He's got in the amen corner, he's got all over this floor, and I know God. God won't ever change, I know God. And he always will be God. He's God when the lightning flashes, he's God when the thunder rolls, he's God way up in heaven, he's God down in my soul, I know.
For He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Seated if you'd like tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Appreciate you being in church tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good for our visitors to be with us tonight. Appreciate them being here, all of our visitors. Amen. Let's receive the offering tonight. Brothers, come and help us this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Bill Brim, ask the Lord's blessing on the offering.
Amen.
Good to have all these young people that are just getting fresh out of youth camp. Amen. We even got Alicia with us tonight. She went to youth camp. Amen. And she came out tonight. Praise God. Glad for all of them to be here. I want to give them a chance to testify. No pressure. Who's be first? Young people need youth camp, don't they?
Amen.
Need youth camp. Praise God. All right. Amen. Anybody else? How about a mom or dad that got blessed during youth camp? Sister Cindy?
Right.
Some of you bus captains, I'm sure that was a great experience. Amen. Right. Amen. Praise God. Brother Tucker, God bless you. Amen. The Tsar. Sure, exactly. Wow. Right. That's right. Praise God. Amen. Right. Amen. Still real today. Praise God. That's right, Brother Tucker. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Sister Karen. Right. Right. Amen. That's right. Right, amen. Right, amen. Right, amen. Right. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Somebody else tonight? We're not going to cheat nobody. Katie? Right. Just, amen. Amen. Still can feel it, can't you? Amen. Start talking about it and you still feel it. Hallelujah. Somebody else? Amen. Sister Alicia? Right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, glory. Sister Elaine? Right. 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 Amen. Right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. One at a time, folks. One at a time. And I'll tell you, you know you're having a testimony revival when three at a time are standing to testify. Go ahead, Brother Jeff. We'll start in the back. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Amen. It does. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Right. That's right. Amen. 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 Mom, why don't you go ahead? It's good therapy on your knees. Stand up twice. That's right. Uh-huh. Sure. Amen. Amen.
Mom, thank you for camp, and I guess I enjoyed it. I enjoy it a lot better now because I've got a nice bed to go home and sleep in. Go home, you don't have to worry about the AC. But no, I am. I'm truly thankful. It's been a long time since I've seen services like that. And sometimes you get discouraged, you go around and you see young people, and they pray, but not with a fervency like there was this year. And I stood back and I told Brother Tim Brim, I said, you know, I said, there is a generation that's coming up that wants to serve God.
Right.
And I'm thankful for that.
Right.
Because we can't let it die out. And I think about that a lot, and I tell the youth group, you know, we are the future generation.
That's right.
If we do not do something, it will die out.
Right.
And over that past week. I just thank God so much for what He did. And I know one of the little girls came up to me. She said, "Did you see me go pray?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." She said, "You know," she said, "I got up there," she said, "and I just started crying."
Right.
She said, "Well, why did I start crying?" I said, "You were feeling God." Right. You know, I'm so thankful it wasn't just our kids. It wasn't just our church. It was churches all over the country that came together and just felt God. And it wasn't even just the young people. Brother Rob got blessed.
Amen.
And there were some older parents that got blessed. I'm so thankful that we can come and we can have a youth group like that. I'm looking forward to next year. I really am.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to the way church is going to be. I told the youth group tonight. I was just thinking before church, in Sunday school, we were talking about Moses and when he saw the burning bush. And I was telling them, I said, you know, everybody says that was not an uncommon sight for them to see a burning bush, because in the desert they would pop on fire. But what turned his attention to it was it did not consume. And I was talking about tonight to tell them that, hey, when you catch on fire, I said there's people all over the world that catch on fire and quit. Catch on fire and quit. But the world is looking for somebody that catches on fire and stays on fire.
Right.
That's what's going to draw attention. I'm so thankful for that. I'm encouraged with our youth group. I am. I tell you what, I believe they're on a high, and I'm looking for great things to happen from God.
Praise God.
Amen. It's good testimonies tonight. Go ahead, Brother Jackson. Right. Right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's let our younger youth group come and sing for us tonight, the kids' choir. Amen. They had a blast at youth camp, too. I'm telling you what. If it wasn't, they weren't in church, they was in the dirt playing and having a big old time.
She was healed. I too have felt your touch.
enjoyed even seeing the little ones pray during camp. And they're not intimidated by youth camp. They're not intimidated by big crowds either. Amen. They get in and have church as well. Amen. Why don't we have the youth choir sing tonight? Youth choir? I know, but they got a lot of spirit, though.
I'll testify while they're getting ready. My voice is weak, too. I'm just getting it back, and I'm going to lose it. We're supposed to sing in Tim Capp's wedding at the end of the week, so I'm trying to keep what voice I have. But I appreciate the Lord and His goodness. I appreciate the camp. And there's a lot of people that use a broom and a mop and every witch, you know, wasp spray. You name it. A few of them found a snake, you know. All kinds of work. And, you know, Bethel Chapel, that work's bigger than just us. And that's a lot of work for this size group of people. And first of all, the first, I guess, word to the workers are, you don't let the spirit come over you that you get mad at everybody else that don't work. You know, everybody that comes to Bethel Chapel didn't sign a contract that said, I will work at the campground. They didn't do that when they came here. It's not in your membership. It's a mission field. It's a ministry. You don't get mad because you put in more hours than somebody else. And you don't get mad because you think you did more than your share. If you go in with that spirit, that attitude, you might as well forget it because you're not going to get blessed. And if you get a bad attitude and talk about everybody else that don't do what you think they ought to do, you're not going to get blessed. But if you go out there with a broom and a mop or a paintbrush, or a hammer, or a drill. And you say, Lord, I can't go to Africa, but I can go to Sunset Hills, and I can work for you. You will go home with a blessing and a piece of what God accomplishes at that campground. You know, it's all worth it. It is so worth it. I laugh because I'm getting old, you know, and I come out of a 4 or 5 day camp and I need 6 days to recover, you know. I've been so tired physically because you carry an emotional, you know, spiritual load and a physical load. But it is worth every hour that you put in it. It's worth every day that you pray for it. It's worth every ounce of work that you do. And, you know, I appreciate that we have the privilege that we have that ministry that we can be a part of. And it's a big ministry. It's bigger than any of us. And it covers all the way. I mean, we have kids from Texas, Colorado, you know, Tennessee, Kentucky. I mean, you name it. There, I don't know how many states were represented, but lots and lots and lots of states represented in that camp. There were so many children this year that said they had never been to a youth camp anywhere. Any youth camp anywhere, you would think. With all the camps that they had all been to, a million camps that they had. And that is the only place that they came. And they were so touched by the Lord. And it's worth it all. It's worth every mile. It's worth every effort. If your back's hurting tonight or your ankles, some of you cooks and stand workers. And it's an unbelievable job. And I look over our congregation and I don't even know how we do it. I really don't. I don't know how in the world that we get all that done and all of our people work so hard and so many hours and mowing grass and weeding and just everything that's done and everything that's accomplished there. But if you keep it in focus that is your mission, it is a ministry. It belongs to the Lord. It's His work. And the results are eternal. The benefits are eternal. No, none of us go home with money in our pocket. None of us make any money. None of us get paid, but there is eternal benefit that you have played a part in the souls and the lives of other children. And I tell you what, it'll change their life and it'll change yours if you want to be a part of it. And I appreciate every single one of you, every single job that you did, everything that was done. I appreciate all of it, but more than that, God keeps a record and your reward is eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. to help them tonight. These kids are hoarse as I am, so...
What a change in my heart. He took away and gave me peace in my heart. Oh, what a change in me.
Oh, what a change Jesus made
in my heart.
Set me free.
Decision this old boy has ever made. When I walked down to the altar, and that's where I got saved. I said I walked down to that altar, and that's where I got saved.
Jesus made it me. Yes, He set me free.
He took away. I gave Him peace.
I walked down the aisle, the blood of Jesus cleansed me, and it was worth my while. I said the blood of Jesus cleansed me, and it was worth my while.
Oh, what a change
Jesus made
me.
In the heart,
yes, He set me
He
free.
Took away.
He took away my sin.
He
gave me peace with
in my soul. He made me whole. Oh, what a change in me.
Oh, what a change.
My heart,
yes, He set me
He
free.
Took away.
He took away my sin.
He gave me peace.
Gave me peace
in my soul.
Yes,
He made me whole.
Yes, whole.
Oh, what a change in me. Sometimes Satan tries to bring up my past. He tells me I can't make it, this salvation just won't last. But I remember the night I walked down the aisle. The blood of Jesus cleansed me, and it was worth my while. I said the blood of Jesus cleansed me, and it was worth my while.
Oh,
what a change in my heart.
Yes, He set me free.
Took away.
He took away my sin.
And gave me peace.
Many of our young people experienced change this week. Praise God. Received an email from Neosho, Bible Holiness, and one of their young people emailed us and said they got home Friday night and had a Friday night youth service, their usual Friday night youth service. Me and Sister Ruth were thinking, what? How'd you have a Friday night youth service? I was sleeping Friday evening. They had a Friday night youth service. what usually is just basically a devotion and time of get-together for them and fellowship turned into a two-hour church service for those young people on Friday night. And see, sometimes there's a carryover. I know sometimes we don't realize it, but there's carryover. When they get home, God continues to work in their life. And God, I trust that many of the churches today and tonight are experiencing something great in their church tonight because their kids were at youth camp this week. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Look with me tonight. The book of Jeremiah. And I'm going to read a few verses there from chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2. Amen. Read you a few verses here. And don't forget Wednesday night, church service at 7:30. And let's come out and let the Lord help us on Wednesday evening. Praise God. We're going to begin reading in verse 9, and then we'll read down a few verses. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chertim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Verse 13 is the Lord's talking to the people of Israel, talking about the people of Israel, and he says, for my people have committed two evils, or two sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Amen. Notice there's this verse 11 that says, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? It said, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. The children of Israel, the people of Israel, they experienced great things from God. They experienced a glorious outpouring of God on their temple and their temple worship. Solomon's temple was a glorious thing. They had enjoyed the hand of God upon their life, and they had enjoyed the blessings of God. And even though yet they still went through the rituals of sacrifice, and even though they still had their priests and their prophets, and they still had those that obeyed the law and followed the law, yet still they had turned their heart away from God and it went in idolatry. It wasn't that they had totally forsaken God, but yet that they still had the form of the religion, they still had the basis of the religion, but yet they had embraced other gods. And that's what the Lord is telling them in verse 11, how that they have changed their glory, they have changed that which was glorious, they have changed the moving of God and the presence of God and the glory of God for something that will profit them nothing. They had made an exchange, and in this exchange they were coming out and on the bad end of the deal, because what they ended up with was an idolatrous God that profited them nothing. When we come down to verse 13, and he's talking to the children about the children of Israel, when he says they've committed two evils, or they've committed two sins. And then he begins to go and he begins to list these two sins. The first one is that they had forsaken him. That they had forsaken him. And the second one being that they had then hewed themselves out broken cisterns, or they had made a way for themselves that was outside of Him. Notice there's something here that I want you to realize, is that in every case there is a thirst for God. In every case, there is a thirst for God. And for no matter who they were, they had a thirst within them. They had a longing for something. They had a thirst in their heart. It was not that they chose not to, that they ignored their thirst. It's that they turned away from the fountain of living water. And they chose to drink from cisterns that were broken, that could hold no water. You think about the difference between these two things. If we look first at a fountain of living water. I don't know if you've ever seen an artesian well or some kind of artesian well or a spring. But it is something that bubbles up out of the ground. And it is a continuous gushing forth, a continuous stream that is busting forth out of the ground. If you look at an artesian well, you will find that it runs continually, constantly, year-round. It is bringing forth fresh water. You will find the water is cold, and you will find the water is delicious. And you find that it is so satisfying. But on the other hand, we also have a cistern. A cistern is no more than what catches the runoff. It's the one that is the stale and the stagnant water. It is not that which is fresh and which is alive, but it is that which is dead and is that which has lied there and has grown the scum and the moss upon it, and it has become contaminated. It is the cistern that becomes fractured in order that it would leak out the water that it holds, and it would empty itself and be empty of all the water that had run into it. So you see, there is a difference between these two things that God is making the comparison. But He tells them there is two sins that are committed. Two sins are committed. Not that they didn't have a thirst. They had a thirst. They had a thirst, but it was where they satisfied their thirst. Two sins committed. First of all, the first sin. He says that they have forsaken me. They have forsaken me. That is, you know, God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. And He does not like to be forsaken. He does not like to be ignored. But He makes this comparison. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have forsaken that which is fresh. They have forsaken that which is real. They have forsaken that which is life. They have forsaken that which is satisfying. They have forsaken that which is delicious and wonderful. And they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have forsaken me. They have turned their back on it. They've walked away from me, the fountain of living water. And notice the second sin that they committed was that they have hewn themselves out cisterns. That they have still hewed out broken cisterns that could hold no water. They had turned to something that they had created. They had turned something that they had made. And they had turned to that which they had created for themselves to hold a runoff or an overflow. And it was weak and it could hold no water. And in the times of their thirst, they were unsatisfied because the cisterns were empty. It seems like we're living in a day when churches have forsaken that which is fresh. They have forsaken God. They have forsaken the living water. They have forsaken that which is fresh and life-giving. And they have turned their back upon that which God has given us in order to taste that which they have created for themselves. Then when you think about it, who in their right mind would rather drink out of a stale, stagnant pond than out of a fresh, gushing well of water? Man, who wants to push back the moss and the scum off the top? Who wants to filter the scum through their teeth? Come on. In order to get a drink of water, when you have the possibility, amen, of going and drinking out of a fountain of water that is springing up. But that's where our church world is at today. They've turned away from the things of God, the fountain of God. They have forsaken that. See, the fountain of God, it is a fountain afresh. It is life-giving. It is real. It is powerful. And it's something that is wonderful for us. And we've enjoyed it for so long. It's what we've experienced. It's where our experience began. It's not that they'd never had it before, for they had forsaken it. They knew what it was. They knew what the glory of God was all about. They knew what the glory of heaven was when it came down in the Shekinah glory of God. They knew what it was to have the glory of God to come down in such a way that it filled the house where the priest could not even stand to minister. They knew what it was for the priest to go in to the glory of God and to be in the presence of God. They had experienced all that. They knew what that was. But yet they forsook that for something that was not real and that could not satisfy. But you look at our churches today and they've done the same thing. And many people have forsaken, amen, the move of God and the genuine move of the Holy Ghost in their life. They've turned away from it. Not that they've never tasted of it. No, they've experienced it before. They know what the genuine is. They know what the real is. They've tasted of the good things of God and the good glory of God. They've been in services where the power of God has moved over them and swayed their heart and touched them. But oh, church, amen, they have forsaken it. They turn their back on it and walk away. There's so many people that have turned their back upon the good things of God. I've seen it. I saw it out at camp. It disturbs me. It disturbs me because I've seen people that come out to camp. And we're having a move of God. A move of God with people crying and praying. I'm not talking about with drums beating and music blaring. I'm talking about people calling out to God with their hands lifted and seeking God in a wave of the Holy Ghost sweeping through the place. That's what I'm talking about. And they sit and they with their arms folded and they are not touched and they are not moved by that. And they are not, they have no interest at all in what is taking place around the altar. No interest at all about what is taking place around the altar. No interest at all about it. No hunger. No desire for the move of God that they see taking place. That disturbs me because and they have forsaken. They have forsaken the fountain of living water and turned and walked away from it. Amen. Men always try to create something to substitute the genuine. I don't know, there's something about man tries to substitute, create a substitute, and to fill the void of the genuine. Notice what this verse says. It says they have hewed them out cisterns. They hewed them out cisterns. They forsook him, the fountain of living water. But here they have hewed them out cisterns. Notice the personal ownership that they claim on the cistern. They have hewed them out a cistern. This is how I want it to be. This is how I want my experience to be. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I want. They forsake the fountain of living water. You see, to go to the fountain, they have to go at God's request. They have to do it in God's way. They have to be obedient to God in order to have a move of the Holy Ghost in their life. They have to surrender themselves to God. And they have to follow God's commands in order to enjoy the fountain of living water. But when you've hewed yourself out your own cistern, you can drink out of it any way you want to drink out of it. And you can do it any way you want to do it. Amen. But the one thing you have to realize is it is not the real and it is not the powerful, and it is not that which satisfies. Amen. They hewed them out cisterns. They made themselves, amen, something that they could drink from. Amen. They could do it their way. They could do it in their own methods. They could do it in their own, the only way that they desired, however they would see fit to drink from this cistern. They could do it any way they wanted to do it. But oh, let me tell you, amen, there is nothing that can take the place of a fountain of living water. Amen. They hewed them out a cistern. Cistern, a place for the runoff. A place for the scum. A place for where the bacteria grows. Yeah. A place where the mosquitoes populate. Right? A place where it's just scum and like a scum pond that sits there. Now I know there's people that have cisterns. They have cisterns and they have runoff water. And they some people use that, but why would you want to use that? Why would you choose that over the fountain? If you've ever drunk from the fountain, why would you ever move away from that in order to drink from a cistern? You know, it makes me wonder, why would anybody leave the good move of the Holy Ghost and walk away from an outpouring of God? Amen. And walk away from that in order to taste, amen, of something that lacks, something that is not real, something that does not satisfy. Amen. Not only did these people come with a thirst, amen, but I want you to notice these people, they dug their own cistern. Amen. These people were no different today than what they were in Jeremiah's day. Amen. The one thing that's different, amen, than now than then, is that it seems like every man wants his own cistern. How many different ways does everybody have to have a move of God? Man, everybody wants it their own way. Everybody wants to have it their way. And then they think it's Burger King or something where they can have it our way. We treat ourselves. We entertain ourselves. We amuse ourselves. We have it our own way, the way that we like it, the way that we want it. And instead of having the genuine, what we have is a diluted version. Amen. Of the moving of God and the experience of the Holy Ghost. Think about runoff. Runoff. Man in our church back in Ohio, he had a cistern. I said, well, where does this water from your cistern come from? Where does the water that's in your cistern, where does it come from? He said, well, when it rains, it comes down off of our roof into our gutters, comes down the gutter, and the gutters drain it off into our cistern. I thought, oh, that's nice. He said, in all these fields around us, these farm fields around us, they all drain off, and that all drains off into our cistern. And that all comes in, and that way we have water in the cistern, and that's what we wash with, that's what we drink, that's where we get our water. And I mean, that's not what I want. I'm kind of picky about my water anyway, and I don't want that kind of stuff. Can you imagine all of the stuff that's washed off? The runoff. There are people that are trying to live their experience on the runoff. Amen. I don't want a secondhand experience. Amen. I don't want to live on a secondhand experience. Amen. I want the real and the genuine fountain of the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. I don't want to live off of a secondhand experience. I don't want to build something to catch a runoff. I don't want my spiritual life to depend upon the runoff. Amen. Of somebody else's revival or somebody else's move of God. Amen. I need the genuine for myself. Amen. There's so many things that I would like to share with you tonight, and maybe I'll have to do it another time. Amen. But when I think about this, the cistern that these people have hewed out, the fact is it was broken. It could hold no water. They had put all of their effort into creating something to substitute for the move of God, and it missed its purpose. It did not fulfill its purpose. It did not hold the water. Here's one thing about a well. You never have to worry about it holding its water. It's constantly springing forth. Brother Gallagher came to visit us, a couple weeks ago. And he came and he's telling us this. Every 76 minutes, out in Wyoming, there's a thing called Old Faithful. And it springs up out of the ground every 76 minutes. So he came in telling us that. Did you know that in Wyoming, every 76 minutes, there's a geyser that shoots up water out in the middle of nowhere every 76 minutes? So for the week, the whole weekend, that's what we heard. Every 76 minutes. So every once in a while, one of us would say, you know, every 76 minutes. Amen. There is a geyser that shoots up somewhere in Wyoming. Every 76 minutes, called the Old Faithful. And he went on and on talking about it, how, you know, when Christopher Columbus discovered America, over in Wyoming, every 76 minutes, there is a geyser. Or spewing water up in the air every 76 minutes. Man, I tell you what, I learned more about Old Faithful and that Old Faithful that's been going on for a long, long time every 76 minutes. Right? You can count on it. You know it's going to happen. That well that I'm trying to talk to you about, this well, this fountain of living water, it's a continual supply. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and let him drink. Amen. Let him drink of the water of life freely. Amen. You know what he's saying is, hey, if you, it's always flowing. It's always there. Amen. Forget every 76 minutes, but 24/7. Amen. The fountain of living water is always there. Amen. Why would anybody want to substitute that? Amen. For something that is empty, something that is broken, something that it does not fulfill. Amen. Why would anybody want to shove off, amen, the fountain and forsake the fountain of living water for something that is ineffective? Amen. But that's where we're at. Amen. The church today, they say, you know, well, we don't really want to move with the Holy Ghost. Don't really want to move the Holy Ghost. There's people that will move you to the back of the church. They'll move you to a back room. They'll even tell you not to come back. That's right. Amen. Not to come back. Yes. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. I wish you could have saw Brother Rob jump out of the sound booth the other night. I'm telling you, I'm not talking about jump out of the sound booth, go through the door sound booth. I'm talking about jump out of a sound booth. Hey, that's the only way to do it, unless you want to put in another door. Hey, man, where do you? What was that? What is, you know, some people say, well, we don't need that. We don't want that. I say that's the genuine. Amen. I'd much rather have a real outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A real move of the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. Than settle for something that will not fulfill, that will not satisfy. Amen. I don't need entertainment. I don't need a song. Amen. All I need is a well of the Holy Ghost springing up within me. Amen. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. You cannot contain it. You cannot control it. Amen. It is a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Spiritually, there are people that look for things other to satisfy than what they find in God. Tell you what, in God you'll find everything that satisfies. Amen. But it seems like the world, they look for it every way else. Every way else, they'll try to find something to satisfy. I tell you, it's not in the choreographed worship that satisfies. That's a broken cistern. And I'll tell you why. You know, we got to be careful. Got to be careful because it seems like, amen, if we're not careful, we get too programmed. We get too programmed by our rituals, by the norm, by the routine, by the ordinary. And the next thing you know, we're following through with the program. It may not be spelled out, but it's still a program. I want to ask you tonight, how do you want yours? How do you want it? The Lord said they've committed two evils. They forsook me. Such a horrible sin, church. To turn your back on God and forsake Him in the fountain of living water. Such a horrible sin for us, not only to forsake Him, but to think that we can create something for ourselves. My mind goes back to those that were standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. They could look up to Mount Sinai and they could see the glory of God hovering around Mount Sinai. They could hear the thunderings and the lightnings as the glory of God descended upon Mount Sinai. Moses in the presence of God, and Moses there talking to the Lord, and in the presence of God as the earth shook and the mountain shook with the presence of God. They could be that close to it. They could be that close to it. They could see the dark cloud. They could see the lightning. They could hear the thunder. And they knew the presence of God had come down around that mountain. But yet, even while they were still seeing the cloud around the mountain, they could form a calf. And they could melt down their gold and form a calf and begin to worship before the calf right there in the presence of a God, of God Almighty. I say, how can they do that? But I wonder, how do we do it today? How do we do it today when we've got the presence of God all around us, but some have chose to walk away from amen, the genuine move of God and the fountain of living water, amen, and try to satisfy their thirst on something that they've created. Amen. How? How could two men that were raised in a temple and in temple worship, they had seen their father offer sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. They knew the workings of the temple. They knew the structure of the temple. They knew the glory of God. They were there in the temple. They were priests and they could see the glory of God. And they watched their father go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God and offer atonement for the people of Israel. They saw the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire over the top of the tabernacle. But yet, even in that being that close to it, they could offer strange incense before the Lord. And God would judge them for that. And then why could they come so close and be so close to the real, amen, that they'd forsake it for something that they created? How is it that we can sit in church, amen, and have an experience with God and have a move of the Holy Ghost? If we're not careful, we'll forsake it, and walk away from it, amen, to create something that'll satisfy and meet our needs. We live in a world, it was in Time Magazine. There's an article in Time Magazine about Superman. I know that sounds kind of comical. But it's in an article about Superman, how that Batman has replaced Superman as the superhero of our generation. It said Batman, he's more of the guy that's out getting revenge for what he's lost, and he's more of the bad boy type personality, and people like Batman today. And they went on to talk about that Superman has dwindled away. His reading audiences, and I know this is really not interesting to you right now, but follow me here. Superman's audience has dwindled away because people just don't like Superman, a man from outer space that comes and always saves the world and does good and does that which is right. But they say the world today, they are looking for people and they are looking for heroes that are different than Superman. Well, that's just a weird article. I know you're not following me here. But listen to what they said. And this is what they said. They said, the world today is not looking for somebody to tell them how to live and what to become. That was the last phrase in the article. The world today is not looking for somebody to tell them how to live and what to become. And that's why people have forsaken the fountain of living water. To hew themselves out a cistern that can hold no water. And I'm glad tonight that I know the fountain. Amen. I don't want just a runoff experience, church. Amen. I need a fountain. I need a fountain. I need something that springs up inside of me. Man, I don't want just a temporary runoff experience, but I want a fountain. Hallelujah. When I hear the cry, does any man thirst? If any man thirst, let him come. Amen. There's something that speaks to me right there. Amen. If I said to you tonight, does anybody want to go to Bobby's tonight? See what I mean? There's a few people here that's had Bobby's before. And why, when I mention that, all of a sudden something, some craving, some longing down inside of them said, hey, Bobby's? I'm up for that. I'm up for that. I could do that. What if? But when I hear that cry, if any man thirst, amen, suddenly something inside of me, amen, rises up, a thirst rises up in me. Amen, I realize, amen, that I'm thirsty. That I'm thirsty. If he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Amen, let him come unto me and I'll give him, amen, of water of life freely. Amen. Let me ask you, are you thirsty tonight for something more than a broken cistern can offer you? Hallelujah. It's the only thing that'll satisfy, the fountain of living water. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Every 76 minutes, somewhere in Wyoming, every 76 minutes. How many of you have ever been to Old Faithful? Quite a few of you have been there. It's amazing. It is amazing. Every 76 minutes, a hole in the ground. But I want you to know there's something greater than that. Hallelujah. Something greater than that. It's just as faithful, but it's greater. And that it's a continual flowing of the presence of God. That man in Ohio that has a cistern there, every once in a while, he'd go through periods of time and there'd be a drought. There'd be a drought. And he'd always complain that he had to truck in water and pour in because it was empty. He'd have to pay that extra money and buy that water and have it trucked in so that they could have water at their house. And let me tell you, it was a beautiful house. A beautiful home. But there's times he had no water. No water. See, the cistern relied on the runoff. It was not like an artesian well that was always springing up. See, some of you, man, you like Bethel Chapel because you like the runoff. You like the fact that you can come and people will move. There's a power of God. There's a moving of the Spirit of God. And you get a little bit of a touch there and you get a little bit of the runoff. You might feel a little bit of God and you might feel a little bit of the moving of God. But I want you to know there may be a time when you're going to need something for yourself and you're going to come up empty. You're going to come up empty. If you're relying on something that somebody else has got to satisfy your thirst, to satisfy your longings, I'm sorry, but you could be in for a bad run of things. But I tell you, if you know where the artesian well is, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You don't have to wait for a runoff. You don't have to wait for mom or dad. You don't have to wait for the rest of the youth group. You don't have to wait for the pastor. You don't have to wait for a revival with an evangelist. Come on. You don't have to wait for anything like that. Amen. If you know where the well is, amen, you can get your thirst satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen. If you had experienced the life-giving, the life-changing experience of a fountain of water springing up inside of you, don't rely on the runoff. Don't rely on just somebody else getting a blessing and you being close enough by to get a touch of it. But get something for yourself. Amen. Why not come to the fountain of living water? Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and let's ask the Lord to touch us tonight. Dear Jesus, God, I ask you, Lord God,
of your Spirit, Lord, to flow over me. Refreshing, refilling,
hallelujah,
reviving me.
Lord, help me, Jesus.
There is
Lord,
a hunger,
God, I ask you to help us.
And it's deep down inside of me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
Lord,
Jesus.
The power
oh,
of your Spirit,
thank
Lord,
God, thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Me.
Let's sing it together tonight.
Oh, I want the power.
Oh, I want the power, Lord.
Lord of the Spirit.
I want the power of your Spirit,
to
Lord.
To flow over me.
Lord, to flow over my soul tonight, Lord Jesus.
Oh, refreshing.
God, would you let it refresh me?
Refilling,
God,
Lord,
refill me, Lord
reviving
Jesus.
Me.
God, bring revival to my heart tonight, I pray, Jesus.
There
Lord, God,
a
there's a thirst and a hunger in my heart. God, that cannot be satisfied. Lord, except for a move of your Spirit tonight.
For the power
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Of your
amen, church, let's come to the altar together.
Me.
Amen, let's come to the fountain of living water. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
Lord,
Jesus. Lord, God, I ask you, Lord
for
Jesus.
For a touch of God. Oh, help me experience revival today.